Hello and welcome into this episode of You Seem Interesting. I'm your host, Danny Ruya. Thank you, as always, for checking out the show. It is an honor to be beamed to your cell phone, laying in wait for you to hit play. You're checking us out on Patreon. You're the man and you know it. Little pep in your step there, sir, madam. We like you. We love you. You guys are the best. Thank you for supporting. You want to contribute as well. Patreon.com/FunnyDanny. And everywhere else, wherever you find your podcast. We're pretty much there, man. Amazon and Google Play and Apple Pods and Spotify and all the festive and fun stuff. Instagram at You Seem Interesting and interest_pod on the old Twitter. My guest this week is my buddy Aaron Price. Aaron Price is an entrepreneur's entrepreneur. We've had entrepreneurs on the show before. My buddy Ted Sullivan, who founded Game Changer years ago, sold his company to Dick's Sporting Goods. Aaron is cut from similar cloth, but has his own pretty unique story. I see a lot of parallels to myself in Aaron. And I also see a lot of things that I don't have that he has, which is why he's really, really successful. And his work ethic is second to none. And he's going to be modest and sort of not take some of the credit that he deserves for what he's built. But what he's built is quite simply amazing. I will get into his accomplishments and all the really cool, fun stuff that he is up to now, what he's been up to the last decade, really, from a vision he shared with me, in fact, a little over 11 years ago. And I got to be honest with you, I didn't get it. There's a reason he's in his seat and I'm in mine. But first, before we get to that, here's the strangest gimmick in all of podcasting.
It is once again time for the strangest gimmick in all of podcasting. A moderately passable celebrity impression asking you for money.
Hey, pal. Pretty tricky with that accent, Hans. Patreon.com/FunnyDanny. Come out to the coast. Give him some cash. You see what I did there? I changed the line. Oh, it's very good. Bruce Willis. Wow, a little bit awkward there at the end. I kind of used the movie quote. Anyway, the point is this. My buddy Aaron Price is my guest this week. Who's Aaron Price is what you're probably asking. That's just fine. Don't stop and Google it. I'll tell you all about him. Aaron Price is the CEO and founder of Propelify. Is that all? No. He is the CEO of Tech United, formerly New Jersey Tech Meetup. That makes sense? It's going to hear in a second. So rewind a little over 10 years ago. My wife and I are living in New York, and Aaron and his wonderful wife are living in Hoboken, New Jersey. And they're both, you know, have had regular jobs and worked and gone up the corporate ladder and everything. And Aaron has always had this vision, this drive, and this unbelievable itch to do something different. We're walking through this office space, and I'm going to mention this to him in the interview, but bear with me for a second. He's showing me this office space in Hoboken, right? And I'm kind of going, okay, so this is fine. There's desks and cubicles and chairs. And he basically explained to me this vision he had that would turn into WeWork. Now, he didn't invent WeWork. He didn't found it or anything, but that was a company. That's something that he had in his mind, something like that, a shared office experience for people to sort of come and do work together or work separately or whatever. And it would be this incubator, this place for thinkers to kind of come and go. And I didn't quite get it at the time. Well, someone else had something similar. They started it and were successful. And I saw that happen and I kind of went, That was Aaron's idea. That's what he was talking to me about 11 years ago. We sort of took that and some other ideas like that in this space where he'd seen all the folks flock to the parts of Northern California and what happened kind of within New York City. And he says to himself, there's plenty of people like me. There are other like-minded tech entrepreneurs in this area with either startup companies or fledgling companies or kind of that middle class of company that's not too big to be big and doesn't have enough capital to get big, but now, you know, not that small where they're still in the fun kind of sexy startup phase. He said, there's got to be some others like me. So he starts the tech meetup where every month he's able to get a couple speakers kind of in and around the industry to show up. And, you know, there's a mingling period for 30, 40 minutes, get a few speakers, and people start to feel this vibrance in this tech community of where he lives in New Jersey, right? Slowly but surely, that leads to him starting Propelify, a festival that started in 2016. The blurb says it's a way to inspire the tech and innovation community and those who take action
who propel. So they've got speakers over the years, like Gary Vaynerchuk, Ariana Huffington, Al Roker, a bunch of famous people that are kind of in and around this innovation space, right? And then people, CEOs from, again, mid-range, huge, small, medium, everything in between kind of companies. They get 10,000 attendees. They get the tens of thousands over the years as this thing has grown. This year, obviously, a challenge with COVID and the pandemic and everything, but they still recently pulled off another year of this incredibly fast-growing and successful festival, all based on this idea of sort of salmon swimming upstream, right? All these businesses are in it for themselves. They're in it to get, you know, they're individually going about their business, trying to grow and trying to be profitable and trying to get their names out and make their product as good as possible in the normal process, but they're also in it together. These, you're separately together, if that makes any sense. And enter the parallel. Here's what it is. And this is what I say when I say I see a lot of myself in Aaron. As a guy that was a stand-up comedian, or still is, rather, and you know, in the radio, you're your own company. Everything that you do is yours and your own. You could have a co-host, you could be part of a sketch group, or you could have camaraderie with other comedians, but at the end of the day, you are your own business. And that shared fellowship is something that all comics who've been doing it for 10 minutes, who've been doing it for, you know, 50 years, always talk about. It's being at the comedy club. Being on stage is great, but sort of hanging out with the other comics is the part that's the best. The road gigs, you drive 6, 7, 8 hours to do 30 minutes at a Benningen's on a Tuesday in Wisconsin. You do that because the story and the camaraderie is great, and that feeling of being on stage is outstanding. Well, Aaron sought that same thing, but in a tech and entrepreneurial space, and he found it, and it's his drive. So he basically invents something that didn't really exist in this part of the country. And it went from, let's see if I can do this, to not only am I doing it, but within the last couple calendar years, the festival itself has been sold to the New Jersey Tech Council. He now is CEO, and he's a widely successful, respected guy. He's wearing bow ties. He's a brand. He's a dude that's out there in the public eye, and he's doing incredibly well for himself. And it started from humble beginnings. It started from an idea, and his drive and talent and energy got this thing to where it is. So I encourage you to check it out. Just go to propelify.com and sort of see what this whole thing is all about. You can look up what he does with Tech United as well, just techunited.co. You can find a whole bunch of cool stuff there when you go, and you can check out what Aaron Price is up to, and what he's up to in a few moments is talking to me. So without further ado, please enjoy my conversation with Aaron Price. So this is a little over a decade ago. I'm in Hoboken, New Jersey, visiting my buddy and his wife. Our wives are friends, and I guess we're all friends. And I remember my guest, Aaron Price, walking me through this office space. And he told me about this vision that he had. And I listened, and I nodded, and I tried to ask good questions, but I didn't get it. I didn't get it at all. But Aaron got it, and he's built something really, really cool and has always stuck to his vision and has always been someone that I've admired because of that. So my guest is CEO, founder, business builder, Aaron Price. Aaron, what's up, man? Thanks for the time.
Thanks for having me, Danny. It's so awesome to be with you here.
Yeah, it is really cool. So let's go back to that day. So I don't know if you probably don't remember it because you meet with so many people and you do so many things, but you were explaining to me your kind of vision for this shared community and this space of people that were involved in tech and other entrepreneurs and fledgling businesses and startups. And I kind of, again, I'm just an idiot. I'm a rube, but I didn't get it. But you did. Is this where you thought you'd end up when you kind of had those ideas a little over a decade ago now?
Oh my God, no. You know, the path has changed dramatically, but what I found in my life in entrepreneurship has been very lonely and solitary. And so I started something called the New Jersey Tech Meetup, which inspired the idea, I think, for the office space you're talking about, which was an early version of a co-working space. And it was a way to bring people together who were sharing a similar journey in their own business, you know, career path. And I never in a million years would have predicted that I would have ended up here. We'll talk about where here is now, but like, no way would I, you know, that was one step that turns out wasn't, you know, it was good for somebody else. That wasn't, that particular office space wasn't the right sort of business move for me, but it's been a long road.
Well, you and I are similar in some ways in terms of situation, right? Where we both have kind of chosen this non-traditional path or some supported by amazing women who do everything and then some, and just sort of, you know, indulge our various professional whims as we kind of twist in the wind for a while before success has occurred. But I think about that. And then there are also vast departures between us. Your stick-to-itiveness and determination to see your vision through is something that I've always long admired. And I'd love for you to go into a time where you didn't think that this would happen, where you go, you know what, maybe I should just go back and be a consultant or, you know, work in a regular office job. Was there a moment where you go, I don't know if it's going to work out?
I mean, every day is one of those moments. And you're right. And I do think there are a lot of similarities in, I mean, I'll mention those moments in a second, but you pursuing a career as a comedian where, you know, people, I'm not sure who your viewership is, but like that takes, it's like the odds are against you, no matter how great you are.
Yeah.
And I think you're pretty great. But the odds are against you. And same thing is true with entrepreneurship. No matter how great you are, no matter how good your idea is, like, the odds are stacked tremendously against you. So, you know, Danny and I found a lot of, or you and I guess you should say, found a lot of common, moments in the careers on those things. So anyway, for me, like, there were a lot of times, in brief, you know, I patented something with my brother in high school that had no, what's called an addressable market. Basically, nobody really, not enough people in the world buy the thing in total, let alone if only 10% of the people in the world buy mine, you know, will it be great, which was a weightlifting device that allowed people to add weight to their body doing pull-ups and dips. Like, most people can't do pull-ups and dips with their own body weight. So our device was useless to 99.999% of the world. So anyway, that was my first entrepreneurial endeavor. I started something in college. It was an online, one of the first online food ordering services, like what people know of Seamless today. We started something called Deliver You in college, and that one went reasonably well, and a few others. But there were a lot of moments where it was me, you know, there's one in particular where it was me in a warehouse with a bunch of high school workers processing inventory, or students, you know, working after high school, working for me in this warehouse, processing excess inventory for e-commerce. I just remember being like alone in this dingy warehouse thinking like, what the hell am I doing here? Like, even if I make $1 billion doing this, like, is this it? Like, is this the thing? And I was certainly not on my way to making $1 billion or anywhere near doing that. But I've had a lot of moments where I thought, you know, it's only if this sale comes through and only this employee joins, or I just get this funding. And then a lot of those things don't happen. And so, yeah, there have been many, many, many moments of maybe this isn't the right thing, and maybe I need more stability in my life, and maybe the stress this brings to my marriage, which, you know, I won't speak for yours, but for mine was a major, major deal. You know, maybe this isn't the right path because it's not worth all the, you know, the what we leave in this path.
Yeah, the strain is a very, very real thing. How did you come up with Propelify? How did it go from infancy idea to the major festival that it is?
So here's what happened. I talk about like solitary lifestyle as an entrepreneur. I start something called the New Jersey Tech Meetup. Basically, I live in Hoboken, New Jersey, which for those who are unaware is right across the river from New York City. And I was going to New York for certain networking events and thought there's probably some people in my own backyard who'd want to do this. So start the New Jersey Tech Meetup, thinking I'm going to get 20 people at a bar. The first one's 70, the next one's 100, the next one's 150. It stays at that level for about a decade, where every single month we have 30 minutes of networking, 3 startups present, and then a very incredible featured speaker, and founders of companies like Priceline and Hot Jobs and the Huffington Post. It's really great companies. So that's just a side gig. Like, it's making a little money, but that was just a side gig. And my career at that point was really more around software entrepreneurship. And I meet tons of early stage entrepreneurs, many of whom have really interesting ideas. But what I find to be the biggest difference, and I think this is the biggest difference in life, not just in entrepreneurship, is those who propel those ideas into action. So our tagline is idle ideas don't fly, right? You can't just let something sit on the runway, not go anywhere. And so after 6 years of the New Jersey Tech Meetup and breaking up with a co-founder in the business I was working on, I was like, you know what? I'm going to go all in on this community idea. We're going to build this giant festival called the Propelify Innovation Festival. And the culture of it's going to be about people who propel ideas into action. And that's exactly what we did. In the first year, I hoped we'd have like 2,500 people show up, and we had 8,000 people show up. So we'll get more into what's happened since. But when you talked earlier about like, could you ever imagined what would have happened? I still don't think of myself as an event organizer, but I never would have thought of myself as making a living doing that kind of work. And you know, the doors that have opened since have been really totally unpredictable.
So I've had a couple entrepreneurs on this program, and that spirit of I'm not satisfied taking orders from somebody else comes through. It comes through with your work, and it came through with theirs as well. Just that spirit of I want to own this process. I want it to be mine, and I want to make my vision come true. And you touched on it, like that's usually associated with a product or being in charge of a business. But you mentioned that it's basically turned into Aaron Price, event guy, right?
Yeah. I mean,
so how does that sort of blend where you're talking about, again, entrepreneurship versus now you've got to make sure all the logistics are humming for this festival and for Tech United?
Well, first of all, I'm gonna answer with a different answer, and then I'll get back to what you're really asking. But I want people to know who are thinking about starting something on their own. It can be super awesome. You can potentially make a lot of money. One day you might have a lot of flexibility. But those things take a very long time.
Sure.
And it's a significant slog. And what you see in the headlines of XYZ company worth, you know, $1 billion is very rare and takes forever. And people should just go into it eyes wide open. I'm not saying that they shouldn't pursue those things. They absolutely should, but they should just know what they're getting into. And if they have a family, they should talk about it with their families, so know what they're signing up for. And, you know, it has to go. We recently ran the Digital Propelify Innovation Festival, and one of my favorite entrepreneurs, this guy, Mark Lori, who sold Jet.com to Walmart for $3 billion, talks about surrounding yourself with people who go into sixth gear. And then he'll recruit people. They're like, oh, yeah, I'm in sixth gear. And he interviews them about what they're doing. And he's like, you know, you're like in third gear. Like, you've got to be willing to go to sixth gear, like, not just nights and weekends, but, like, everything about speed and, you know, the ridiculous hustle around it. So, anyway, like, a little aside there, but I think it's important that people understand that this is what this is, you know, this career path is about. Events suck. I never thought I'd be in the event space. I think my superpower is more, like, in the community building world. Putting together people, like I'm good at racking my brain of, like, you know, you should talk to this person, you should talk to this person. And the event has kind of scaled some of that. But logistics of events, you know, building out infrastructure, you know, for an event of this size, we build what we call like a little city, bring in power, bring in water, bring in bathrooms. Like, it's a huge pain in the ass. And that's not the part that I enjoy at all, but it is a necessary part of the process that we've gotten really good at. For us, the pandemic this year took away some of that burden, and there were some real pros of being able to go online. Obviously, the networking was a little more challenging, but we're able to like up level it in other ways that were beneficial. So, like, people could join from anywhere around the world and a variety of other things. But, you know, I think being honest to yourself, and you ask about, like, oh, at the end of the day, is this just about event organizer? Kind of, but I also know that it's, you know, that's sort of the skill set, the means to the end around what really is creating opportunity for people by bringing them together, which is why the organization that Propelify now falls under, we call Tech United, because that's kind of the magic that happens when you bring people, when you unite the tech community. Did that make any sense? That went on for a while there.
No, it made perfect sense. And my favorite point that you made was you don't get to skip to the end. Every once in a while, you hear about that charmed life story where somebody came up with the idea, 45 minutes later, they're a billionaire, and that's all well and good. But, you know, 99.9%, just as you say, it's work like anything else, but maybe ownership of that work is, you know, a little bit more yours instead of just giving it up the ladder to a company or a boss or something otherwise. It's a great answer, man.
I mean, I see you go through the same thing. And I wonder if, you know, I don't know if you want to flip the table around, but like, I've seen you go to every single crappy bar on the planet for every open mic you can get your hands on in hopes that, you know, like, it's every small step. There's no one giant leap you can take. It's taking all those little steps. And there are people who do that, right? I mean, don't you think it's so very similar?
It's 100% similar. And that's kind of the parallel that I mentioned before that I've definitely have always seen between us. I mean, everybody's got that story or that you heard anecdotally about, like, one guy got discovered doing this and he was a star 45 minutes later. And then there's a million stories like a Rodney Dangerfield who was selling aluminum siding into his 50s and 60s before he finally made it as a comedian. I mean, just stuff like that happens. And those stories are all very real. What I wanted to get to, though, just sort of total transition here, is the appeal. Like the sales pitch for Tech United, what was the tech meetup, for somebody that's looking for just a way to get on the map? Is it to look for advice about how to build out their company? Like, who would come to a Tech United meetup for you early on versus right now?
So I guess I'm not doing such a good job of answering you directly, but I want to add a little more context here, which is, the New Jersey Tech Meetup is, you know, inspires this idea for Propelify, which is its own new company. About a year ago, Propelify got acquired by a larger organization called the New Jersey Tech Council. which is a 25-year-old organization in New Jersey built to do similar things around the innovation community, but was much more corporate and not, you know, less entrepreneurial startup. So we joined forces and I take over as the CEO of the New Jersey Tech Council and rename it as Tech United New Jersey to add a refresh branding to that organization. So that might be a lot to follow, but Propelify gets acquired by what is now right. Tech United New Jersey. So why would someone come to one of these things? Really, it's because at the heart of it is I was the guy in college who started this company. Most of my friends went on to more traditional careers. And had I been surrounded with more mentorship and capital and advice, I would have had the Seamless.com outcome or Grubhub or picking one of the ones today that's the longer lasting brand. And I don't blame it on just that. We've made plenty of mistakes on our own. But if I were surrounded by the right people and the right advice, I would have built the business smarter and faster. And that story replayed itself probably two or three more times where, you know, I had some success, but it could have been, you know, if we're measuring it financially, like adding another zero or two or three, if I had the right, you know, advisors. And so ultimately, at least for entrepreneurs, Tech United is about providing access to that kind of advice. For big companies, we also help them be seen as innovators. Like TSEG is the utility in the New Jersey area. We just ran a big startup competition to give away a $50,000 cash prize to a company that's impacting a clean tech future. So that positions TSEG as an innovator, which they are genuinely trying to be and would argue that they are, provides opportunity to an early stage company that's desperate for that access to PSEG as well as some of that cash. And then there was some PR associated with it. So it's again, like in that spirit of, we can help build the company faster. We can surround them in this case with a client. We can get them press. You know, I always think back of me like in my dorm room in these early offices, like not sure what to do next. And so I wanted this organization to be the source of, you know, how and what you can do next.
And that's what I wanted to get to is that initially I felt like clients. I don't know if that's the right word, but your meeting participants are like,
we call them members.
Yeah, members. There you go. Thank you. I appreciate that. So like it starts off like I got a fledgling company. I'm new. You know, what do I do? And noticing the sort of the roster, the people that you guys are working with now, these very established, like as you said, like a public utility or like a, you know, a huge company, it would make sense for them too. And that growth I find amazing. I get it from the, like, you know, I got nothing to lose and I got $8 in the bank and I need to, you know, figure out where to go from here. But I think it's a testament to you and your work that you are as attractive to the new as you are to the established.
Well, I mean, and I appreciate that. I think what's been exciting for me personally is, you know, 14 months ago, as we closed this deal, really like 18 months ago, I started looking for investment or an acquirer. And some interesting opportunities came up. There was an opportunity to be acquired by Entrepreneur Magazine. There was an opportunity with VaynerMedia, if any of your listeners know Gary Vaynerchuk. And there was one other that's, you know, less awareness around, but another media company. And then this little entity comes around called the New Jersey Tech Council that I thought, no way, is that going to be interesting? And for me personally, like it actually checked a lot of boxes of kind of what I wanted to do and where I thought we could make the most impact, which, you know, I'm thinking of in response to your point, because I think, you know, Entrepreneur Magazine had a very different goal around like media and impressions and sales and advertising with Propelify. And Gary Vaynerchuk and VaynerMedia was something similar. The New Jersey Tech Council allowed us to continue to grow the mission and to surround the organization with some of those big corporates. And we have, you know, a lot of the professional providers, lawyers, accountants, plenty of investors, help the early stage guys, but like bring that community together in the full cycle of the community. And so that resonated with me personally as like what had evolved as kind of my own personal mission, gave us a lot of the flexibility to pursue some of that stuff. And I, you know, for me, I feel like we can make a big impact locally, which has been really exciting. So, you know, it's definitely been a long road and, you know, to your earlier point, like super unpredictable. But when I got honest with myself about like, what is the value I bring to the table? What's the value this organization brings to the table? You know, and what can we do for other innovators and entrepreneurs, like the whole thing kind of made sense. And that whole like sexy headline thing, I threw that out the window and went with like, what makes the most sense for where I want to go?
In the movie, The Social Network, Sean Parker has two major impacts on Mark Zuckerberg and Facebook. One is to drop the, it's cleaner. The second is he got them to go out to Palo Alto, right? Yeah. He got them to go out to California because you had to be there to be in this space, to be an entrepreneur, to be an up, to be a startup, to be sort of tech or on that front face. Is that still true? And two, is that one of your goals to make that not true?
It is one of my goals to make that not true. In the pandemic, it's less true. I would be lying if I were to say it's not totally true. I think it's less true now than it was a decade ago, and certainly 20 years ago. Culturally, the coasts are a bit different. There's a little bit more receptivity to risk, especially in the technology entrepreneurial space and the West Coast, than there has been historically on the East Coast. It's changing a little bit. And what that means is, like, if you're an entrepreneur on the West Coast with a decent idea, people tend to invest a little earlier and sort of hope for these bigger picture opportunities versus on the East Coast, where they want to see more of what's called traction and customers and clients and revenue. And it's a little more data driven, which makes sense being in like a financial area. And I'm talking about specifically the New York market. So it's true. It's getting more neutralized, but you know, I would recommend wherever you are, you know, any listener, you're like, getting involved in your local community, even if you're not in California or New York or New Jersey, in my case, like you don't need to meet thousands of people. You need to be with a few people who keep you motivated, who keep you sane, who you can bounce ideas off of. They help open doors for you. Like, I would recommend that you'll find that sort of by leaving your house, so to speak, and getting to know people, doors will open up. And culturally, you might have to fly to California or pitch more California VCs, but there's still plenty of opportunity in your backyard.
Give me a touchdown dance, a big victory, a highlight moment. Could be the moving to the tech council. It could be a lot of different things, because you've had so many successes here of late. It could be the Al Roker experience. I'd love for you to delve into that too. Give me kind of your end zone spike moment here.
I mean, this year has been really eye-opening. Personally, I touched on this earlier. We were really in the red zone as far as like the impact of my career on our family life and marriage. And we've significantly left that red zone. And that's probably the number one victory dance I would make. Like, you know, that, if on a list of 10, that's like 1 through 9. That was a major one. Like, you can comfortably say that now. We're like 18 months ago, I could not have comfortably said that. So that's probably the biggest thing. You know, it ties so much into the business, because part of what impact that was giving me a little, like, I was personally like electrified with stress, and I brought that home a lot. And so probably the business piece that tied into that was being acquired, you know, last summer. And not only was that good for personal life and the family life, had I not been acquired and we were looking to do this year's event in the pandemic, I think there's a good chance I would have just closed up shop. Like, I don't know what I could have salvaged. Having the resources of Tech United behind us and the staff and all the other resources that come along with it, we ended up putting together a really fantastic event 2 weeks ago that was arguably one of the most successful we've had. So, you know, high level is probably like having positioned myself so that I could weather the pandemic storm. And actually, I think in our case, there were a lot of silver linings. You know, smaller moments like interviewing Gary Vee on stage, we interviewed Al Roker. You know, there are certain moments like that where you know, Arianna Huffington a few years ago, where you're like, holy shit, you know, this is working and people respect us and they're showing up and listening. And we were called the South by Southwest of the Northeast 2 years ago by Forbes. And that was probably the moment that I thought, oh my, you know, we're really getting recognition. And that was a proud moment.
Yeah, sort of becomes very real. Even though it's just a, you know, a publication, somehow that legitimizes stuff. I'm totally with you. Let me ask you this one here. 5 years, 10 years, 20 years. What does all this look like?
That's a good question. I think in 5 years, you know, for me, I would expect I'm still an entrepreneur. And as much as I love this organization, I have a lot of ideas. And so I'm hoping that we set this organization up for long-term success. You know, whether I stay involved like on the board or I'm transitioning out, that seems like a likely time frame. You know, 10 years, I hope that I still have the same energy that I do today and I did 10 years ago to start something new, hopefully with a lot more wisdom. 20, I don't know. I just turned 42. I'll be 62. You know, we're doing all this financial planning. I don't see myself retired. I don't see retiring. I don't know. My kids will be 20. You know, I honestly hope it's all the cheesy things. They all come true. I hope that my kids are nearby and I hang out with them a lot. You know, that I'm happy. The money matters so much. You know, I guess I would say like the things I used to care about when I was in my 20s and like it was all financial. And that's, you know, I'm very pleased with some of the financial outcomes here, but like it hasn't been huge, crazy dollars. It's been comfortable money that I'm very proud of, but like, I don't want to mislead people here. That's like very low on the list now for me. It, to me, the things I'm looking forward to are like, I hope I still got the energy, the health, and my family around me to keep like trying to kick ass as much as I can. If that happens, it's a win.
So the thing I pull out of there that you said real quick is that itch to keep starting new. I'm so envious of that. And again, you are just wired differently than such a huge percentage of the population. I mean that with the highest possible sense of compliment. Most people would say, look at what I've created. Like, you're Tom Hanks on the island. Like, I've made fire. Like, I did this. And you're like, looking at your watch, like, I should probably start something new. I'm getting a little bit stuck here. Can you imagine starting over right now? Because you just touched on it. All the stress, all the different things that you brought home, everything's on the line. How afraid you are, and then boom, you're like, yeah, I should probably delve right into that.
I should probably jump into that pool of sharks.
I should probably hurry up. Yeah,
I mean part of it's like, I have some problems, but like, I love hearing people say that'll never work and proving them wrong, which is kind of a pessimistic way to say it. It's more so I love identifying a problem and coming really great solution for it. You know, it doesn't, like I said, 9 out of 10 times it doesn't work, but like, when you get that thing right, people are like, wow, this is awesome. That feels great. And you like, and so like, to me, if you know, the 20-year thing is like, do I have enough flexibility in my life so that it's not quite as financially risky as it was in the past, that I could still take that jump? That would be awesome. Cause every day I have new ideas, and every day I'm like, oh, I should try this. And what about that? And to me, that's a very, the tools available to us now, mm-hmm. You can test market ideas so quickly. Like, there's much more you can do to save yourself months and years of headache that I used to have to do, and any entrepreneur used to have to do. Like, as you know, just as an easy example, like, if you're thinking maybe I should start a restaurant, which, by the way, in the pandemic, probably a terrible idea, but in a normal world, you can like rent a food truck for a weekend, go to a, you know, park it in some busy area, test out different food concepts, and know for relatively, you know, low cost if that thing's going to work. That was not as easy years ago. With technology, you can go create a landing page in a day, put Facebook ads against it tomorrow, and see if it converts, which is the process by which people like sign up to express interest, to measure, like, before you spend any money in your product or service, does anybody care? So like, the, you know, for me, like, I get fired up just thinking about like, what could be something interesting that, you know, might make, you know, might solve a problem. I get super fired up by those ideas.
Yeah. And that was literally going to be my last question. Is it easier to do this now than it was a handful of years ago because of technology? That's why you're the best, buddy. I've kept you long enough, man. Really appreciate the time. You were interesting as hell. Appreciate you, Aaron.
Thanks for having me on, man. I really appreciate it. It's great to hear from you.
Thank you again to my guest, Aaron Price. He is the CEO of Tech United New Jersey and the founder of Propelify. There's a lot of acquiring in there and a lot of companies that got started and then got acquired and then changed, but there's a rebrand and then you got to change your email. Anyway, the point is this: he's successful and he is first into the breach. He is diving ahead in here to put New Jersey and that spot close to where he lives, right outside of New York City, on the map as one of the go-to spots for entrepreneurship and for tech in the United States. And it's come a long way in less than half a decade. He's done an amazing, amazing job, and he was great with me here. So a number of things to pull out. And just, I'm obsessed with this one answer, and I'm sorry. Again, if you know me and if you've listened to the show at all, I feel like I say this every week now, but you kind of are seeing how my mind works and what I'm so interested in, what drives people, how they get there, what their motivations are, how stuff works. I just love unpacking things and how stuff works and how we get here, right? And you can see it and hear it with Aaron. He's talking about this thing that he created from nothing. Think about this. There was nothing. Then there's this thing that gets tens of thousands of people, and it gets CEOs of companies that are internationally known and traded on the stock market and NASDAQ and are successful, and this startup and this public utility company and everything under the sun. It's amazing. It's his. He made that. Most people would sit there and go, look what I've created. Look at the thing that I made. I'd like to take my money and go put my feet up on a beach somewhere. I'll have the crack crab and the lobster for lunch, just like Coleman at the end of Trading Places. That's what he could do. That's what he should do, right? You could hear it. He's got that itch. He's like, yeah, I'll probably start something else. I'll probably make up something else from scratch. I'll probably go back to the drawing board. I got all these ideas. The ideas are always percolating. I get some ideas too. But goodness gracious, can you imagine having the courage, having the chutzpah to leave the successful thing and do it? But that's how he's wired. That's what it takes. It takes the drive, the work, the relentlessness that someone like Aaron has, and he's got all those things. It takes the right support structure to be able to do that. I mean, think back if you were kind enough to listen months ago now, but Nat Noon, who is the CEO and founder of New Wave Soda, had a project. And I'm not saying this to rip him. This, is to me, is the highest compliment. Had a project, had a beverage company even, that he put everything into, and it didn't work. So he's like Mike McD in the poker room, right? In Rounders. He's got the stacks of high society, and he's going to ante up again against Teddy KGB. That was a very specific analogy about the movie Rounders. The point is, you should see Rounders because it's awesome. But second of all, that's what Nat did. And Aaron is basically talking about doing that already. Not that he's had something unsuccessful. He had the most successful thing you could have. It's amazing and it's awesome. It worked out perfect. And he's still sitting there looking at his watch going, yeah, I should probably come up with something new. That was fantastic. I loved his answer also towards the beginning of the interview, discussing the idea that, I keep referencing The Social Network. It's the second time on this interview that I've done that. But the moment where the Winklevi meet with Larry Summers, right, where they're sitting there going, they're arguing with him back and forth about what Mark Zuckerberg did and it's sort of semantics. But Larry Summers has a moment where he could sort of stops and tells them, everybody at Harvard wants to make up their own thing. Nobody wants to go work for anybody anymore. Everybody's something. Everyone's doing something here. And that's a microcosm of what's happened with the last couple of generations, I would say. Right? Is everybody, and I'm not ripping anybody, I'm not doing an old man shaking my fist at the sea thing. I'm just sort of looking at the reality of it. Our best and brightest don't want to go work at the company anymore. They want to start their own. They want to make up their own thing. They see the lottery ticket. They see the path out there to be their own boss, not have to come in when someone tells you, not have to wear what people tell you, not have to answer to anybody. In my generation, whatever I am, I'm age 41, you just sort of didn't think that way. You went to work, right? You were going and you're going to meet your boss and you kind of keep going in line. And the generation before us, I think, my parents are baby boomers. That's exactly what they did. You get up and you go to work and you just do that. It's what you're supposed to do. You put food on the table, roof over your head, you win. The younger generations coming up and the best and the brightest, guys like, and Aaron is my age, but he sort of exemplifies that. You make up your own thing. And a lot of people, I think, want to take shortcuts with that. They just want to skip to the end. I see it in comedy all the time where people will see a Dimitri Martin do something really creative and interesting on stage, like with an easel and art, and they'll just skip to that. Well, Dimitri Martin learned how to be funny before he started making drawings on stage, okay? People want to be alternative comics without learning how to be comics first. People want to be CEOs of big companies without actually building the company. And Aaron's point that he made about the work that it takes, you're working as hard or harder as anybody else, right? I mean, we punch time clocks. We do what we do. We get in at 9. We leave at 5. We take a 30-minute lunch. A lot of people have worked really hard over the course of their lifetimes, right? When you are the guy that's got to wear all the hats in the beginning, you got to do everything from file taxes to, you're doing payroll and acquisitions and mergers and you're lifting stuff. You're at the warehouse, as he was talking about when one of his early on roles and careers. I thought that was really interesting. You don't get to skip the line, I guess was the point. And just like anything else, yeah, there's glamour at the end. There's glamour in being Mark Zuckerberg and having, a really weird zinc oxide white face while you're surfing and being a meme. But you could surf on the beach that you own, on the island that you own, with a surfboard of gold. If that's what you feel like doing, you could do that. People want to skip to the end. And Aaron's point is there's no end without that grind. And he relishes that. And he's one of those kind of guys that almost gets off on the work, if that makes any sense. But I thought that was a really cool answer as well. And the other part that I thought was really neat is, and this happens to a lot of us, and it certainly happened to me. We've talked a lot in this episode about the parallels between us, but where you start and where you end up, given the choices on a micro level that you make along the way, can be pretty profound, right? I never thought when I moved to New York to do stand-up comedy that would lead me back to my hometown to be on the radio and to be able to do a podcast like this. I was going up there to see if I could do what we were just talking about, try to make it big, go into the open mics, get a Montreal Comedy Festival audition, you know, have an agent that would send me on auditions and break into roles and get parts and be known as a funny guy. Well, here you go. Fast forward a few years later, and I'm right back in my hometown doing radio shows. Very interesting, right? But I couldn't be happier. It's an awesome thing. But where you start and where you finish are always kind of chuckle-inducing, I would say. But anyway, I've rambled on long enough. I appreciate you guys checking out this episode. You are so sweet for doing that. Thank you so much for hanging with us here. Next week, I've got the editor-in-chief of Veranda Magazine. My pal Steele Marcoux will join me. That is a fancy magazine. She is a fancy lady with a lot of class, and she's going to class up this joint when she comes hangs out with me next week. But that's going to do it here for us on You Seem Interesting. Thanks to my producer, Andrew Russell, Kiwanda Sound, kiwandasound.com. And thank you guys, as always, for checking out the show. We'll see you next week.